Grace and peace from God our Father and His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. And we come here this morning just with this special, special day. And there are times when we forget the reason for the season. Amen?
Amen?
The world would love if we forgot the reason for the season, but we do not. And we are in the middle of our series. As a matter of fact, we're not in the middle. We are completing our current Christmas series called Emmanuel, God with Us. And I'm getting a little bit of feedback up here, GB, in the monitors. But God with us, based upon Isaiah chapter 7, verse 14, as we bring today's message. And the first week we discussed that Christ was promised to us. He was promised in prophecy. And so we rejoice greatly in that. Week number two, we discussed that Christ was proclaimed. Pardon me, not proclaimed, but was pronounced. He was pronounced in our praise and our worship, the praise of Elizabeth in the first song in the New Testament, and the worship of Mary in the second song in the New Testament. Last week was proclaimed when the angel came and proclaimed Christ to the shepherds in the field. And today we come to part four, present. Christ is present. God is present. Emmanuel with us. Our core passage is Isaiah chapter 7, verse 14. It should be on the screen for you this morning. And so as we look at Isaiah chapter 7, verse 14, it says, "Therefore the Lord Himself will give you a sign. Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call His name Emmanuel." Meaning, God with us. You know, let me ask you a big question here this morning. As we look at everyone that's here this morning, you guys look so nice, by the way. I just wanted to share that. I see a lot of red today. But let me ask this. How many of you have completed your Christmas shopping? Yeah, that's not good. That's not good. Yeah, you haven't completed our Christmas shopping, amen? But it needs to get done. Amen, guys? But listen, let me say something. Finding the right present for someone can be difficult. Amen? Now, it's not that difficult for me to buy gifts for my wife. I simply call my daughter. And my daughter will say, "Well, Dad, if it sparkles or fits on a ring, her neck, or her wrist, you'll do okay." For me, it's the same thing, you know. Getting a Christmas present for me, she knows that I'm a simple guy. The weight of my heart is definitely through my stomach. I want you guys to keep that in prayer. But we do have our Christmas Eve meal being prepared at home today. Miss Ruth Ann is cooking a brisket. Yeah, we're gonna have that on some sandwiches. But finding the right present for a person can be difficult. And so, what present do you get for that person? Friends, Jesus Christ came as a present for the world. But He also is present. He is here right now today, amen? Christ is present, not because of this building, but if you are the redeemed of Christ, if you are saved, if you are born again, Christ indwells you. He is present in your life. Therefore, He is present in the sanctuary. And what else? Where two or more are gathered. Therefore, Christ is also present. But have you thought about your present for the Lord Jesus Christ? You see, God sent us a present in His Son to take care of our sins, to find a way for us to come to heaven. But what about your present for Christ? Have you thought about it? Yes? No? You see, it's something that we sometimes forget. I mean, after all, what sort of present do you get for someone that has literally everything? God has everything. There is nothing that is not His. The creation and everything in it belongs to the Lord. Now, most of us know the story that I'm about to read this morning. If you have your Bibles, please turn in your Bibles to Matthew chapter 2. Matthew chapter 2, if you would, please. And we invert the first 12 verses. Matthew chapter 2, the first 12 verses. If you are there, please say, Amen.
Amen.
Okay, if you're actually there in your Bible and not just looking at the screen up here, say amen.
Amen.
There we go. Now, after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king, behold, wise men from the east came to Jerusalem, saying, "Where is he who has been born king of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east and have come to worship him." When Herod the king heard this, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. And when he had gathered all the chief priests and the scribes of the people together, he inquired of them where the Christ was to be born. So they said to him, "In Bethlehem of Judea, for thus it was written by the prophet, 'But you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judea, are not the least among the rulers of Judea, for out of you shall come a ruler who will shepherd my people, Israel.' And he sent them to Bethlehem and said, 'Go and search carefully for the young child. And when you have found him, bring back word for me so that I may come and worship him also.' When they heard the king, they departed. And behold, the star which they had seen in the east went before them till it came and stood where the young child was." And I love how this ends. "When they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceedingly great joy. And when they had come into the house, they saw the young child with Mary his mother, and fell down and worshipped him. And when they had opened their treasures, they presented gifts to him, gold, frankincense, and myrrh. Then being divinely warned in a dream that they should not return to Herod, they departed for their own country another way." Father, we ask that as we study your word this morning, that you would bless the speaker, that you would forgive the speaker his sins, for they are many. In Jesus' name, and all God's people said,
amen.
Amen. See, there's something about this story that we all love. We just sang about that story just a few moments ago. Yeah, most of us know the story of the wise men, but there's a lot that we do not know. For instance, first, we don't know that there were three wise men. PowerPoint slides, pictures always depict three wise men, but we don't know that there were three wise men. There may have been three, but there may have been more. It doesn't really say. The actual number of men is not mentioned in Scripture. What we do know is that there were three categories of presents that were given: gold, frankincense, and myrrh. But there may have been more presents. Now, before you guys start talking about that, remember that the Bible is absolutely accurate. It is inerrant. It is perfect. It is the perfect Word of God. But it is not always detailed in its information. Amen? And so we know that they had three categories of presents: gold, frankincense, and myrrh. But there may have been more presents. After all, this is God that the presents are being given to. And you say, well, how could that be? Well, let me ask you this. If you got a lot of presents last year, and somebody would ask you, what did you receive? You would probably say, well, I got X. When really and truly you got A, B, C, D, E, F, G, and X. But you remember X, amen? X was important to you. X may have been that brand new tailor-made driver. No, I'm not saying that I got that. But when I did get it, my wife told me 3 months ago, that's your Christmas present. And it may have been something like that. But you remember the important Christmas presents, amen? So there may have been more presents. There's things that we do not know. For instance, we don't know exactly where they came from. The Bible says they came from the east. It could have been Iraq, the area of Iraq, Iran, those areas today. It could have been further east. We simply don't know. Nor do we know what the star was that guided their way. So you see, that word star there does not literally mean star. It means quite often the beholding great light. In other words, quite honestly, it could be the Shekinah glory of the Lord. It absolutely could be that. We see this, the things depicted, but that word star is not literal. It is symbolic. So there's a lot that we don't know, but there are great things that we do know. Amen? We know that they were called wise men. Wise men. Why? Why they were wise Why do you suppose they were wise? It was because they were looking for the Lord Jesus Christ to worship Him. You see, it is always wise to worship the Lord. Amen? And we may forget that. It wasn't easy for them to worship the Lord Jesus. They had to come from a long ways. They had a journey to travel. You see, they had a lot of barriers to them. For instance, they had the barrier of distance. If you look at verse 1, the Bible says they were wise men from what? The east. And the east infers that they came quite a ways. And they came for a specific reason. Just to worship the King of Kings. The Lord of Lords. The Messiah, Jesus Christ. Wasn't that a great act of faith, by the way? That they would travel that great distance simply to worship the Christ child. Not only was there the barrier of distance, there was the barrier of difficulties. I want you to remind you that in those days there were no planes, there were no trains, there were no automobiles, there were no hotels, there were no restaurants, there were no superhighways, there were usually dirt paths, and the terrain was very difficult. If you don't think the terrain was difficult, go back and review some of the video footage we have from Iran and Iraq and Afghanistan today. That gives you an idea of what they traveled. But not only that, they were under literal danger. Not just from their travel, but when they got there, they faced King Herod. And Herod was a murderous, evil old man who just loved to kill people. In fact, he was the one that killed all the babies in Scripture. He had already murdered his wife. He had already murdered his mother. He had already murdered his sons. He was a hateful, hellish, murderous old man. These wise men were in real danger. But in spite of the difficulty, in spite of the danger, they came to worship the Christ child. Amen. You know, there are Christians all over the world today meeting in real danger. But they come to worship the Christ child. You know, we have it made right here. Amen. Oh, sure. I know that the parking lot is an aggravation. We're on the second floor. It's on the first. But we do have an elevator that gets us upstairs, mostly. Usually. Quite often. Same thing on going home. If it's hot in the summer, I generally just walk down the stairs. I don't know about you, I don't want to get caught in that elevator in the summer. Amen? But in spite of that difficult and danger, they came to worship the Christ child. You see, I'm laying the foundation right now for you folks. Because in a moment, I'm about to preach. In a moment, we're about to declare the Lord Jesus Christ. In a moment, I'm going to break out up here. And some of you young people, you know, I get so excited about Jesus, sometimes I don't know whether to sing or break dance. And nobody wants to see that. Amen? Listen, friends, why are we here today? Why did we come? Well, it's because it's Christmas and we know that we are to honor and glorify the Son of God. It's a privilege that we can be here today. It's an honor to be here. And with all my heart, I thank God for the joy of worshiping His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. I thank God for the joy of being the pastor here. I thank my God and my Lord for the blessing that you are as my flock. You guys have no idea what a blessing you are to your pastor and your first lady. And in spite of distance, by the way, I still have your flowers that you gave my wife last week sitting right next to my chair. I told her to sit by your chair because I need to see it. But in spite of distance, in spite of danger, in spite of difficulty, the wise men came to worship the Christ child and they brought him three kinds of presents. Look at verse 11 again, please. If you're there, please look at verse 11. Say amen. And when they had come into the house, they saw the young child with Mary, his mother, and fell down and worshipped him. And when they had opened their treasures, they presented gifts to him, gold, frankincense, and myrrh. I want to ask you a question. If God planned all of this, and He did, and if God wrote all of this in the Bible, and He did, do you suppose it's just a coincidence that these three categories of gifts are mentioned? Do you suppose it's just a coincidence that gold, frankincense, and myrrh were the gifts for Christ? Why those gifts? Why those specific categories of gifts? You see, friends, there are no coincidences when it comes to God. There is no luck involved when it comes to the Lord. The Lord blesses whom He will. And the Lord declares His glory through whom He will. Are you struggling today? Give God the glory. God has blessed you with that struggle to glorify Him. Are you being enormously blessed this day? Give Him glory. Do you have a chance to see your children today? Your grandchildren? We had a video last night. We watched our great-granddaughter running around in the bed of my son's pickup truck. Now, who would think that that would be the biggest blessing for us this week? She is just like her daddy. I mean, how many of you guys remember Nicholas when he was a little boy? You couldn't tie that little boy down. And she is just like him. Listen, guys. These gifts gives me an idea as to what we should bring to Jesus this Christmas season. I know you have your notes there. We're going to have three notes that we're going to move through quickly. But what is it that we can bring to the Lord? Listen, guys, my presence, your presence, must be like the three types of presence we see today. For instance, we saw that they brought gold. Amen? Gold is a present that is given to a king. Gold is, after all, or a queen. Gold is, after all, is symbolic of royalty. And what they are saying when they give the gold is that this baby here that was born, this baby is a king. And so gold represents our first point. Please write this down in your notes. Gold recognizes the sovereign dominion of King Jesus. The sovereign dominion of King Jesus. In other words, they recognize the ruler of heaven. And because they recognize the ruler of heaven, because of his sovereign dominion, I give him, we give him, they gave him of their treasure. They gave of their wealth. And listen, for those of you that are visiting in the sanctuary this morning or watching on the internet, this isn't some pastor up here just trying to hit you guys up on tithes and offerings. That's not what I'm talking about. What is the treasure in your life? What is your wealth in your life? What is it in your life that is valuable to you? Are you willing to give that to the Lord Jesus Christ? If it's your time, are you willing to give of your time? If it's your money that you're most enamored with, are you willing to give of your money to the Lord? Are you willing to give of your skills to the Lord? You know what we have up here on our praise team and our band? We have folks that are willing to give of the gift God has given them. They're willing to share their giftedness. What a blessing that is. And so all I want to say is that I give the Lord my wealth. All that I have is His. All that I have. Have you done that in your life? Have you recognized His sovereign dominion in His life? If you look on the screen, please, at Isaiah chapter 9 and verse 7, what does it say about the Messiah? It says, of the increase of His government and peace, there will be no end. Upon the throne of David and over His what? Kingdom. To order it and to establish it with judgment and justice. From that time forward, ever forever, the zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this. He is the King. He has sovereign dominion over the creation. He has sovereign dominion over our lives. Is He that way in your life? And the question is He your King? You see, when the wise men came to the baby Jesus, what do you notice? What do we normally do when we go to a baby? We pick it up. We cuddle it. We play with that baby. What did they do? They did not cuddle this baby. They did not caress this baby. They did not play games with this baby. No. They recognized His kingship. Look at verse 2, if you would, in your Bibles. Where is He who has been born King of the Jews? For we have seen His star in the east and have come to what? Worship Him. Look down now. Look down at verse 6. What's it say? But you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are not the least among the rulers of Judah, for out of you shall come a ruler who will shepherd my people, Israel. Listen, friends, we worship the King of Kings. We worship heaven's King. Let's make this personal for each and every one of us. Let me ask this. Let me just ask this hypothetical question, but because of the way that sometimes we approach church. So let me ask this about your life. Suppose we heard that our sitting president or the previous president were coming to Living Hope Baptist Church next Sunday morning. The call had been made. The arrangements were made. President Trump or President Obama were definitely coming next Sunday morning. What would we do in preparation? I imagine this place would sparkle. I imagine each of you would sparkle just like you do today. Amen? We would have flowers. We would have special stationery. The praise team and the band would rehearse and practice as much as possible all week. And we'd all be on time next week, set up within minutes of the doors opening. Amen? There wouldn't be a seat empty in this sanctuary. Not one. Every person would be here. May I ask this question? Why would we do all of that for an earthly president, an earthly ruler, when we all know, beyond all doubt, that Jesus Christ is here every Lord's Day? Amen. Is any president more important than King Jesus?
No.
Absolutely not. Hallelujah to the Lamb of God. Let me take this a little further for you. Forget your politics for a moment. Nowadays, that's hard to do. I get it, you know. I totally get it. But let's take you a little further. Forget your politics for a moment. Suppose you received a personal invitation to have Christmas dinner, not only at the White House, but in the residence, at the president's table. And that invitation came, it allowed you to bring 10 others besides your family. In other words, bring your family and 10 other people. I know what I would do. I would make any and all necessary arrangements, regardless of politics. I would do that. I would cancel any appointments I had. I would get a fresh haircut. Miss Ruth Ann would get her hair done even nicer than it looks right now. She would have a manicure and a pedicure. Obviously, a new dress would be required. We would do and be and wear our very best. I would get my closest friends, which is all of you. I would have to call the president and say, "Hey, how many does that table seat?" But I could get my closest and best friends and invite them. Friends, he is the King of Kings, the Lord Jesus Christ. He is the Lord of Lords. Now, I have been alive, wait for it, for 13 presidents. And let me tell you something. That one day, and one day soon, Harry Truman, Dwight D. Eisenhower, John F. Kennedy, Lyndon Baines Johnson, Richard Milhouse Nixon, Gerald R. Ford, Jimmy Carter, Ronald Reagan, George H.W. Bush, William Clinton, George W. Bush, Barack Obama, Donald Trump, and yes, Larry Brister, and every human being that has ever lived will bow their knee to the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
That at the name of the Lord Jesus, that every knee will bow and every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord.
Amen.
And that's what we come to do here each and every Sunday. We come because we come to worship the King of Kings. So what can I give the Lord Jesus today? I can recognize His sovereign dominion and would be willing to give all that I have of my wealth. Whether it be my time, my treasure, all that I have belongs to Him. It all belongs to King Jesus. But what does frankincense represent? Well, frankincense represents, our second point today, it represents His sinless deity. Now, I want you to know that I stumbled over that and I had to rehearse that like 10 times. His sinless deity. You see, gold is a present fit for a king, amen? But biblically, frankincense was used only to worship God. It was used to worship God. And it is no accident that it was given to Jesus Christ. Exodus chapter 30, verses 34 to 38. Mark that in your margins. We're not going to go there this morning. But it refers to frankincense as the base of the holiest of the incenses used in the tabernacle to be burned only to a holy God. That's what it was used for. Why was that? When it was burned, that incense would rise up out of the temple, symbolizing the prayers of the people as the people worshiped God, a pleasing aroma in the nostrils of God. Why were these men so wise? Look at Matthew chapter 2, verse 11 again, if you would. And when they had come into the house, they saw the young child with Mary, his mother, and fell down and what? Worshipped him. And when they had opened their treasures, they presented gifts to him, gold, frankincense, and myrrh. In other words, they presented him with their wealth. They presented him with their worship as well. They worshipped him. The Bible says, you shall worship the Lord thy God, and him only shall you worship. So what can I give the Lord Jesus Christ this morning? Because he is my Lord of sovereign dominion, I give him my will. And because he is the Lord of sinless deity, I give him, and I give him alone, my most precious worship. Friends, listen to me. It's okay to be excited about the things in our life. It's okay to be excited about things that we get or things God has blessed us with. But listen, friends, anything that moves ahead of your worship to your heavenly Father is an idol. Don't let that enter into your lives. This Christmas, remember that Christ is worthy of our wealth and he's worthy of our worship. He is worthy. I imagine when we go to heaven that the first 1,000 years we may fall on our knees and just be there crying out, "You are worthy, O Lord. You are worthy." You see, listen, these wise men did not come to see a baby. They did not come to cuddle a baby. They did not come to coo and play with the baby. They looked at this young baby and fell on their faces and they worshiped him. And so they recognized his sovereign dominion with their wealth. And they recognized his sinless deity with their worship. And now we come to our third point. Our third point surrounds his sacrificial death. The sacrificial death of Christ, which is all about our witness for the Lord Jesus Christ. And I ask you today, how is your witness for Christ? Is church something that you do and you forget about it when you walk out the door? Or is church a place where you come to worship him, to give of your treasure, and then to read that sign as you walk out the door that says you are now entering your mission field and witness for Christ? When was the last time you shared your faith? When was the last time you shared the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords with someone? Let me give you a scripture, friends. Let me just give you a scripture here. Because by bringing this myrrh, they recognized that the Son of God, this little baby, was born to die. Christ came to this world for one reason. If you look on the screen, John chapter 19, verses 38 to 39. John chapter 19, verses 38 and 39. This is talking about... this follows the crucifixion of Jesus Christ. It says, after this, Joseph of who? Arimathea, being a disciple of Jesus, but secretly for fear of the Jews, asked Pilate that he might take away the body of Jesus. And by the way, did you catch that? Did you catch what it said there? He said, it did it secretly for fear of the Jews. He talked to Pilate. Guys, what he's saying is this godly man says, for fear of the church people, talk to a heathen ruler. Let us never be like that, amen? We welcome all that come here as long as they come to worship to Jesus Christ. And Pilate gave him permission. Asked Pilate that he might take away the body of Jesus, and Pilate gave him permission. So he came and took the body of Jesus, and Nicodemus, we all remember Nicodemus, who at first came to Jesus by night, also came bringing a mixture of myrrh and aloes, about 100 pounds. Myrrh. You see, myrrh is used to treat the body of the dead. It was their custom to use that before they buried the body. Meaning what? Well, I like to give a nugget each and every week. And here's your nugget for this week, friends. Do you know, are you ready for this? Say amen. Amen. Did you know that the scripture, the Bible, never records that the early church celebrated the birth of Jesus Christ? Scripture never records anywhere that the early church celebrated the birth of Christ. Now, it's not wrong to celebrate the birth of Christ. Christ's birth is important because it fulfills prophecy. It fulfills the promises of our great God. But there is no record whatsoever that the early church was ever told to remember his death. What specifically are we told to celebrate? What is the church told to celebrate? His death and his resurrection. The death and resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. Listen, friends, I would guess that we all have Christmas trees up at home right now. Amen? How many of you guys have great-looking trees at home? How many of you have spectacular trees at home? See, I got one of those. And here's how I can tell you it was spectacular. I didn't touch it. It was untouched by these human hands. But listen to me, friends. We all have our Christmas trees up, or they should be up by now, or they soon will be. But the real Christmas tree, the real present this Christmas, is represented by the body of Jesus Christ on the cross of Calvary.
Amen.
That's the real Christmas tree. Not decorated with tinsel, but covered with the precious blood of God's Son, Jesus Christ. Friends, the Bible does not record the birth of... Pardon me. The Bible does record the birth of the Lord Jesus, but these wise men were there for one reason, to worship the Savior and remember that one day, through the gift of the myrrh, that he would die on the cross. With that in mind, let's look once again at Luke chapter 2, verses 13 and 14 on the screen. Luke chapter 2, verses 13 and 14. And this Christmas, this is one of our favorite passages. Amen? Amen? And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill towards men." Hallelujah to the Lamb of God. Hallelujah to the Lamb of God. Friends, is it any wonder that heaven's choir came down to sing with the people that heaven's King came down to save? See that? I thought I'd get a testimony there, and I'm so glad I brought my own. I'm going to read that one more time. Is it any wonder that heaven's choir came down to earth to sing with the people that heaven's King came down to save?
Amen.
See, that's you. That's me. That's each and every person that has ever lived. Never forget that Jesus Christ was born to die for all of us, for each of us, for each and every sinner that has ever lived. But we have an enemy, amen? His name is Satan. And it is just like Satan to twist things. It is just like Satan to twist things up and twist the Word of God and twist good things into bad. It's so clever of Satan to try to get Christians to over-celebrate the birth of Christ rather than celebrate and remember the resurrection of Christ. It's okay to be excited about Christmas. It's okay to buy presents. It's okay to remember all those things. But the real reason for celebration is the death and resurrection of the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords. I have to close now. I know that we all have special meals at home. We have pictures we're going to be taking today. I know this is a special day. I know you have special plans for this afternoon and evening. In just a moment, though, I'm going to read the entire Christmas story out of the book of Luke, chapter 2, before we close. But because, church, of his sovereign dominion, I give the Lord Jesus my wealth, my treasure. Everything that I have belongs to him. Because of his sinless deity, I give him all my worship. I will bow down on my face before the Lord Jesus Christ. I might not be the best preacher in the world. I might not be the best preacher of the gospel, but there's nobody around that can preach a better gospel. Amen?
Amen.
But here's what I do know. I love the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
There are preachers that can outdo me in a lot of ways, but nobody's going to beat me in loving my Lord. Listen, friends, I fall down on my face and I worship him. And because of his sacrificial death, I give him my witness. I share with the world why the Lord Jesus Christ died. I want to know that Christ died for me. I want the world to know that Christ died for them. And for anyone sitting here in the sanctuary this morning or watching on the internet that may not know the Lord Jesus Christ, maybe you're here today going through the whole "I'm in church because it's Christmas" thing. I want you to know that Jesus Christ came as a baby to grow into a sinless man. And as a present to you, the Son of God went to the cross and died.
Amen.
My wealth, my worship, and my witness belong to my Lord Jesus Christ. Not only for this Christmas season, but for all of eternity. What about you? With our Bibles open, please turn to Luke chapter 2, verse 1. Praise team, I would like for you guys to come on back up here. And as the praise team comes and we turn to Luke chapter 2, I'm going to read Luke chapter 2, verses 1 through 20. The Christmas story. And Brother Rennell, if you could put this over there, please. And this was not part of our service, but uncharacteristically, I got done on time today. Actually, I got done a few minutes early. And I say, if we're early, let's give God some more worship. Amen?
Amen.
And so reading from the Word of God, Luke chapter 2, verse 1. If you're there, please say amen.
Amen.
And it came to pass in those days that a decree went out from the Caesar Augustus that all the world should be registered. This census first took place while Quirinius was governing Syria. So all went to be registered, everyone to his own city. Joseph also went up from Galilee, out of the city of Nazareth, into Judea to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be registered with Mary, his betrothed wife, who was with child. So it was that while they were there, the days were completed for her to be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son, wrapped him in swaddling clothes, and laid him in a manger because there was no room for them at the inn. Now there were in the same country shepherds living out in the fields, keeping watch over their flock by night. And behold, an angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were greatly afraid. Then the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which is to all people. For there is born to you this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be the sign to you. You will find a babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger." And suddenly, there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men." So it was when the angels had gone away from them into heaven that the shepherds said to one another, "Let us now go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has come to pass, which the Lord has made known to us." And they came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the baby lying in a manger. Now when they had seen him, they made widely known the saying which was told them concerning this child. And all those who heard it marveled at those sayings which were told them by the shepherds. But Mary kept all these sayings and pondered them in her heart. Then the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen as it was told to them.
Amen.
I share with you this morning that Christ came as a present to you to die on the cross of Calvary. Please give your present back. Give Him your wealth. Give Him your worship. Give Him everything about you. Give Him your will. Give Him your witness. And all of God's people said,
amen.
Grace and peace from God the Father and His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. With every head bowed and every eye.
Thank you for joining us today. For more information, visit our website at www.lhcfl.com. Visit us on Facebook or get the ChurchLink app from the App Store. Again, thank you, and we hope to see you in service soon.